Okay, so let me begin by thanking the organizers. And the work that I'm going to present is a collaboration with Catherine Pepa, Dmitry Maslov, and Boris Naroushny. So let me first define the question that I'm going to address in this talk. And what we're interested is to find the role of quantum interference processes to the temperature dependence of conductivity close to a ferromagnetic quantum critical point in two dimensions. So it turns out that, as most of you know, that for an ordinary Fermi liquid, this topic has a very rich history. So let me first review this a little bit to put our work in context. So consider a two-dimensional metal which is far away from any kind of quantum instability. So it's a regular Fermi liquid. Now, when we start thinking about temperature dependence of conductivity for this system, now at high temperature, there are a lot of processes which contributes to conductivity. Now, as you lower down the temperature, these inelastic processes are going to saturate. And then what becomes important are certain quantum interference processes, which gives rise to the temperature dependence to conductivity. So what are these quantum interference processes? So it's interference between two semi-classical paths where an electron scatters of a disorder and scatters of a Friedel oscillation created by this disorder. So there is the famous work of Altshuler and Aronoff, and they found that because of these processes, the temperature dependence of conductivity in the diffusive regime has a logarithmic temperature dependence. And this has been observed in semiconductors and in thin films. And more recently, in the context of clean semiconductor heterostructures, silicon MOSFETs, people got interested in finding out what happens to this, the same processes in the ballistic regime. And the calculation was worked out by Zala, Naroushny, and Alena, and they find that the temperature dependence is linear in this regime. And these two are observed in silicon MOSFETs. So the question that we are interested is to find out what happens to these kind of processes when we push the system close to a ferromagnetic instability. And maybe I should mention that tomorrow, most probably Sergei Kravchenko is going to tell us that in his silicon MOSFETs, what he sees is that as the RS is increased, the poly susceptibility goes up. So there is a possibility that the electron fluid there is polarizing. So to put the question in a precise perspective, so let me consider that you have your system of electrons on a lattice, and now you take it out from the lattice and put it on a continuum. So this is going to kill the inelastic processes, and what will remain is the elastic processes which will give contribution to conductivity. And this is what we are interested in finding out. So of course, this is a conference on materials which live on lattices. So when I have to compare with real systems, I have to put the system back on the lattice, and I have to address the issue that what is more important, elastic or inelastic scattering, and I'm going to come to this in the later half of the talk. Okay, so let me next give a summary of the main results. So it turns out that in the Fermi liquid, the crossover temperature between ballistic and diffusive behavior is 1 over tau, where tau is the elastic scattering lifetime of the electron. Now, when you push the system close to a ferromagnetic instability, this crossover temperature becomes very low. It's a new temperature, which I call T star, and it goes down by 2 powers of KFL. And the second interesting result that I'm going to talk about is that in the ballistic regime close to the quantum critical point, in the spin channel, this kind of quantum interference processes give a temperature dependence which goes as 1/3 exponent. So next, let's talk about the model that we used to study. So this is the spin fermion model, where there are some low energy conduction electrons, and there are spin fluctuations due to closeness to the ferromagnetic instability. And there is coupling between the low energy electrons and the spin fluctuations. And on top of that, we consider scattering of electrons with some random potential, disorder potential. So here I have drawn basically the model in terms of diagrams. So these are electrons with the elastic scattering lifetime. The spin fluctuations have the form of a Hertz propagator. And the only thing to notice is that close to the transition where this delta is zero, the momentum, the bosonic momentum scales as frequency to the power 1/3. And the coupling between the spin fluctuations and the conduction electrons I have written down in terms of a dimension parameter alpha. So in our theory, there are three phenomenological parameters. One is alpha, which is the dimensionless coupling, gamma, which is associated with the Landau damping term, and a parameter coming from the disorder. So it turns out that the theory is controlled for gamma much, much larger than alpha. And so any kind of vertex corrections by introducing second interaction lines is small. So one can safely expand in the spin fermion coupling. So let's first talk about the issue of ballistic to diffusive crossover. So consider an electron-electron interaction of a general kind, where the momentum transferred is Q. Now we can ask the question, what is the distance traveled by an electron during this interaction process? And so from uncertainty relation, the distance traveled goes as 1 over the momentum transferred during this scattering. So this distance has to be compared with the distance the electron will travel between two impurity scattering, which is Vf tau. Now, ballistic regime is that part where the distance traveled during interactions is much smaller than the distance an electron has to travel to see a second disorder scattering. So in this regime, what is important is a single scattering with an impurity. Now, in Fermi liquid, the momentum transferred scales linearly with temperature, and this gives the crossover temperature to be 1 over the elastic scattering lifetime. Close to the quantum critical point, what happens? As I said before, the momentum transferred as temperature 1/3. So this gives a new crossover temperature T star. And as I mentioned before, it's much smaller than 1 over tau by 2 factors of KFL. Next, I will discuss the temperature-dependent lifetime for elastic scattering and the origin of the T 1/3 behavior of conductivity. So let's begin with something very simple. Let's look at this kind of a self-energy process. Now, in Fermi liquid, we know that this self-energy goes as omega square, which translates into a temperature square behavior. Whereas close to a ferromagnetic quantum critical point, this temperature dependence is a T 2/3. Now, what happens if we introduce a disorder scattering on top of this self-energy? What happens is that the self-energy now is renormalized by the ratio of the interaction time divided by the disorder time scale tau. And the interaction time scale is, once again by uncertainty relation, is 1 over Vfq, where Q is the momentum transferred. And this is true both in Fermi liquid as well as in close to the quantum critical point. Now, the only difference now is that the momentum transferred is linear in T close to Fermi liquid, and this gives the elastic scattering lifetime, the inverse of the elastic scattering lifetime going as linear in temperature, which is the result of Jalana-Roshni and Igor-Alainer. Whereas close to the quantum critical point, the momentum transferred it goes as temperature 1/3, and so the inverse elastic scattering lifetime goes as temperature 1/3. And so this is the reason why we get the temperature dependence of conductivity as going as T 1/3. So this is transport. Pardon? So when I'm actually, so I was a bit careful to write 1 over tau here. So for this kind of self-energy, it's single particle lifetime. It's not transport time. But for when I'm looking at this kind of a process, I have already relaxed momentum by disorder scattering. So it's also the transport lifetime. So I do not have to worry about large angle scattering because there already is large angle scattering due to, pardon?
It's already large angle scattering.
Exactly, because of disorder. Okay, so now let me try to say something about what happens if I put this system back on the lattice. So now I have to compare with inelastic lifetime and elastic lifetime. And here, actually, the question that you raised comes back. So this kind of a self-energy, let's look at its imaginary part, which is a T 2/3, as I mentioned before. But this is a single particle lifetime. So we have to correct it in order to get some kind of an inelastic transport time. And this is a process which is a small angle scattering, so it has to be corrected by 1 minus cosine theta factor. And this goes as Q squared, where Q is the small momentum transferred in the scattering process. So close to the quantum criticality, what happens is that this goes, the m sigma goes as T 2/3, Q scales as T 1/3, so overall one gets a T 4/3 factor. So this is the T 4/3 that we heard today in the morning from Andy Schofield. Whereas if we look at the transport time coming from elastic processes, then this is a T 1/3. So what I have to do now is compare this inverse time scale with the elastic inverse time scale. And what I notice is that the elastic scattering is important only below a certain temperature, which depends on the strength of the disorder. So I want to mention that the best case scenario for the model that we have looked at from the point of view of quantum criticality is the known material is the bilayer strontium ruthenite. But as Andy Schofield mentioned today in the morning, that in the part of the resistivity which is monotonic, the exponent of the temperature dependence is closer to 4/3. At least it's more than 1. It's at least it's not sublinear behavior that we would expect from quantum scattering processes. So that part of the resistivity clearly comes from inelastic processes. And so the temperature that people probe is probably much above the temperature scale below which the elastic scattering processes will become important. And so what I would like to mention is that if anyone is interested in looking at this kind of quantum interference processes, what one has to do is probably increase the disorder in the system. So that will raise the temperature. So it turns out that within Kubo formalism, this whole problem can be worked out to its gory detail. And in the ballistic regime, there are 5 diagrams which are important. And so this is the formula for the correction to conductivity. Whereas in the diffusive regime, the physics of of diffusions become important. So and in conclusion, I will leave you with the T delta, all the different crossovers that one gets in the T delta plane. Thank you.
So the regime you didn't talk about was this log squared.
Yeah, so this is low. What was found out by Kim and Millis in the context of metamagnetism.
And in their paper they talked about becoming a sort of Friedel glassy state. Do you have any?
So I don't like the interpretation in that paper. So okay. So I think the interpretation in that paper is that the Friedel oscillation, so the scattering from the Friedel oscillation that you get in the regular Fermi liquid, the Altschuler-Aronoff log becomes a log square in this regime, and that is because the Friedel oscillations are somehow changing, fundamentally changing close to the quantum critical point. They're falling off slower than 1 over r squared in two dimensions. Now, the problem with this, in my mind, is that Friedel oscillations, they exist without adding any kind of interaction. So it's a zeroth order effect. And whatever we see is, so you have to, so now when you're looking at scattering processes, so you have to interfere between scattering with a disorder, which doesn't carry any temperature dependence. And so the temperature dependence comes from the scattering cross-section that you will calculate from scattering of the Friedel oscillation. So it doesn't come just by itself. It has to be convoluted with the interaction. So already the first order in interaction is there. So it's not that you have some additional interaction effect which is changing the Friedel oscillations at a fundamental level. I think that's the best I can do.
I just try to understand under what conditions your model that you're studying applies. You're not completely considering the old model that has to add up the disorder and interaction.
No, so.
What do you mean under what circumstances should one think that you're studying?
So, okay. So first of all, what Altschuler and Aronoff considered was a diffusive form of an interaction. Below a certain temperature. But one can consider what is the ballistic counterpart of that. So that remains the same here. Now, there is a mass term also in the equivalent, the counterpart of the Altschuler-Aronoff calculation, which is finite in a Fermi liquid. This is the spin sector of the interaction. Exactly. At the quantum critical point, it is massless, yes.
So your theory is only valid about the regime where diffusive approximation are good.
Sorry, I don't. No. So can you repeat the question again? I didn't understand.
You're talking about the same problem that Altschuler-Aronoff and Finkelstein have talked about. I'm saying, in what conditions?
This delta is much, much large.
Well, I think the point is that he wants to take the system to the quantum critical point
So I have to have a...
As well, the one-off looks in the file, right? The file page.
We are thinking about the disorder interacting problem, which means something else.
You tune to the one
Yes.
What kind of
problem? Ferromagnetic.
Ferromagnetic.
You're one of the tau elastic, and also one of the taus were depending on temperature and vanish at t equals zero. Should one add to that still a residual resistivity or residual?
So there is always a residual part coming. Yeah, but this comes from high energies and everything, so it's there. And we are interested only in the temperature dependent part.
You mentioned that you know predict in some temperature range that's pretty successful, that you would expect a T to the one-third
yes.
For the resistivity. And I'm just wondering, probably a question for the experimenters in the room rather than for you, but maybe you also has anybody actually ever observed that sublinear
not that I know of, but
on that, no, there are no further questions. The clock is approaching 5 o'clock. Time is a wind. We'll be a little bit early today. Let us thank our speaker again.
Thank you.